Hey everyone, this is James Wilson with MTB Strength Training Systems and BikeJames.com, and welcome to another Bike James podcast. In this podcast, we're going to talk about fear, or more specifically, what is your relationship with fear? And this is an important topic for a lot of different areas of life, but for us as riders, it's a really important topic because managing your fear is an important part of improving as a rider, both when it comes to technical features and also long rides or challenges of some sort that go beyond what you're comfortable with. Like letting fear keep you from doing things can keep you from being the best rider that you could be and really enjoying riding as much as you can. And so again, there's a difference between being reckless and properly managing your fear. And so having the tools and knowing how to do that is an important part of improving as a rider. And so I wanted to share some lessons that I learned from a workshop that I went to this past weekend that was put on by a guy named Tony Blauer. And Tony is the creator of the SPEAR system, which is a self-defense system, which is known the world over. You know, it's been used, he's been consulted by special forces and SWAT and police and everyone from normal, average, everyday people who have no martial arts or any sort of combatives experience, all the way up to high-level military and police have used him and the SPEAR system to improve their ability to deal with self-defense situations. And so I went to see what he had going on. It just is part of my own growth and part of learning more for the Ultimate MTB Warrior thing that I'm working with, trying to help riders improve their awareness of some of these things just outside of riding that go into being the person who can bring the others back, right? So you want to be helpful in whatever situation may come up. And so one of the big parts of self-defense, and this was something that I've heard before, but was really impressed with how Tony had broken it down and explained everything. There were a lot of light bulb moments as these things came together in my head, realizing like, oh, the same mindset that you need to survive a self-defense situation is the same mindset that you need to be successful at life and the same mindset that you need to be a good rider. Like fear management is at the core of everything that we do really on some level. And so Tony uses a flowchart to explain what he calls the fear loop, and explains how managing this fear loop is the key to success. You know, like I said, in a self-defense situation, if you get caught in this fear loop and you're not able to get out of it and start acting, then it's going to cause hesitation and you're not going to react. And this can be deadly when your life is on the line. Like, you would be shocked at how many people who are victims of violence put up no resistance. They were either they were so shocked at what was going on or whatever the reason, but they didn't put up any resistance. And so this fear loop can lock you up in the most primal of situations, which is when your life is on the line. And, you know, this is also what can ruin our life. Okay, you get caught in the fear loop and you don't take chances. You don't do the things that you know that you should do. Okay, the fear loop can keep us from taking action on these things. So one of the things that he said early on that really started my wheels turning was he said that not finishing stuff in your life can often be fear manifesting itself. And so, you know, not always. Sometimes just quitting on things is, a good idea. Like that, it's not always a bad idea. But if it's a consistent theme in your life and you find yourself unable to really achieve any of your goals or what you're looking to do, then there may be some sort of fear manifesting itself that is causing you to not be able to take the actions that you need to in order to succeed. And, you know, just on our level, on the trail, the fear loop, you know, like I alluded to earlier, this is what keeps us from growing as riders, right? You're afraid to try the new technical feature or go on some epic ride that you haven't trained for. You know, so these are manifestations, again, of this fear loop. And fear can weigh us down and oppress us. But the flip side of that is it can also act as the fuel to survive and even thrive in all of these situations. Okay, so it's important to understand that the goal is to not get rid of fear. And the goal is to change your relationship with it. And again, this is super important to understand that there are sociopaths who literally don't have regular human emotions. But outside of that, everyone feels fear on some level. Like, I guarantee you, any rider that you can think of has some butterflies in their stomach when they're, you know, getting ready to, you know, race or drop in on some big line or, you know, whatever the case may be for their particular style of riding. There's still some level of nervousness and fear that they feel. It's just that they manage it so well that it can get to the point where it seems even to them that they don't have any fear. And, you know, and even if they're at that point where they're like, ah, you know, I don't have any of that, I don't know what you're talking about, I guarantee you they did. Like, no one, you know, again, I hate to use words that just imply like there's no chance of a possibility, right? So one of my favorite quotes from Musashi in his Book of Five Rings is, the warrior must always keep his mind open to the possibility of other possibilities. So when I say things like no one and things like that, like, I understand, like, there may be some outlier out there, but we're just talking like super general terms. There's no one who started doing something that didn't feel some level of fear and nervousness, and it was their learning how to manage it that allowed them to get to the point where they may feel like, well, I don't have that anymore. I don't know what you're talking about. So it's managing that fear loop that is the ultimate goal, and changing your relationship with it, because you're never going to get rid of it. You're never going to get rid of fear completely. It's how do you deal with it. And so there was a great quote that he put up from Custom Auto, who was Mike Tyson's first trainer. And it goes like this. It says, you must understand fear so you can manipulate it. Fear is like fire. You can make it work for you. It can warm you in the winter, cook your food when you're hungry, give you light when you're in the dark, and produce energy. But if you let it get out of control, it can hurt you and even kill you. Fear is a friend of exceptional people. Like that right there. Fear is a friend of exceptional people. And so that, again, like this guy who was a brilliant psychologist, when you look into, you know, Custom Auto and how he trained Mike, like, you know, maybe he even went a little too far, but he was a brilliant psychologist and he understood the mind game behind fighting as well as, if not better than almost any trainer ever. And so his take on it was that your fear is that fuel. Fear is like fire, right? If you learn how to manipulate it properly, like if you imagine being like the early humans and you know, fire is this thing that just like appears when like lightning strikes the forest and you got to deal with a forest fire. You know, that you're afraid of fire, but then you're the first guy who, you know, took a burning stick and figured out how to manipulate it and use it to, you know, warm himself or, you know, cook food or something like that on. And so the fire is just a tool. And so fear is just a tool. Like once you realize that, the fear is just a tool. And how do you use that tool? That's what is ultimately going to determine whether it's good or bad. So fear isn't good, fear isn't bad. What do you do with it? That is what becomes good or bad. And again, in the context of the situation. So one of the important things to remember is that you can't solve a problem if you are part of the problem. And if you are in the fear loop, then you are part of the problem. So you have to get past the fear loop in order to start solving the problem on some level. So what is the fear loop, right? It's basically the movie that you start to play in your mind after a fear spike happens. So something happens that causes a fear spike. And so again, on the trail, it may be, you know, this certain technical feature that you just have always had a problem with. It could be in everyday life with, again, like just from a riding example, like someone calls you up and challenges, hey, man, you want to go on this, you know, epic 5-day backcountry ride or something like that. And it's like, whoa, you know, like there's a little bit of fear, that nervousness that you feel is a little bit of fear. Like, so how do you deal with that fear spike, right? That's the what happens. Everyone gets that. And that's the thing that you have to understand. It's completely normal. That fear spike, when you get this sudden stimulus that causes this fear reaction, is completely normal. But what happens after that is you have more control over that. You don't always have control over that fear spike itself, right? Like, it's just, what do you do with it? And so that's when you start to get into this this fear loop, as Tony calls it. And so in this movie that you start to play in your mind, your cast is the number one victim. Okay, and there's all sorts of different ways for this movie to play out, right? Including association. So, you know, maybe you saw somebody take a mean digger on this section and it just stuck in your head and you're just like, oh man, no, I'm never going to try that after seeing, you know, so-and-so who you may think is a better rider, you know, wreck. And so you just always had this association with this certain section of trail or, you know, features like it. You know, you could have these visualizations of worst case scenarios playing in your head. It's, you know, we've all heard the, you know, like fear is, what is it here? Yeah. False expectations or false evidence appearing real, right? Like, so this is the visualizations in your head where, you know, you're seeing these worst case scenarios like, oh my God, I'm going to wreck and, you know, I'm going to bust my arm and break my arm and, or whatever. And it's just terrible things. Or in the other case of, you know, some sort of challenging long ride, you just see yourself blowing up and it's just painful and no fun. Okay. So that's part of the fear loop. Could be a limiting belief that you just keep thinking about over and over and, you know, like, oh man, I've always sucked at this type of technical feature, right? Or I don't have the right equipment. You know, that's one. Got a little excited when I said that because that one annoys the crap out of me. But, you know, when someone's like, not that equipment doesn't matter, but to just be like, oh, you know, I don't, you know, I'm waiting to get a new bike that's got a little slacker head angle or, you know, bigger tires or just whatever, right? Like, so you've got some sort of limiting belief there. Maybe you haven't, like I said, like trained for the type of ride that you're being, you know, asked to go on. And so you're like, oh, I can't make it because I haven't trained for that. So there's some sort of limiting belief, right, that you're dwelling on. Or you're stuck in the cycle of, you know, doubt, which, you know, I'm not sure if I can do that. And then that leads to hesitation. So you don't take any action. And then you start to get fixated on what you have doubt about. And this starts to really create anxiety. And now you're definitely not in the mindset to you know, take action on this in a positive way. So that cycle of doubt, hesitation, and fixation, anxiety, that can be part of it as well. It can be a mix of all of these things, right? But this movie uses these different tools. Your mind uses the different tools to create the movie that you're playing in your head over and over and over again, right? So again, if you're in, again, I reference back to self-defense situations. Again, it's crazy. You know, if you've ever seen any sort of a video where there's a victim who's just doing nothing, they're just sitting there and you're thinking like, man, how can you do that? How can you not take any action? How can you just stand there as this person's like punching you or even like stabbing you or worse, right? And it's because they're stuck in this fear loop. They've got this, they can't believe this is happening, right? Or they don't believe that they can do anything about it or whatever it is, but there's some movie playing in their head that has locked them into inaction, right? So how do you get out of that? Or like I said, on the trail, you see it with people just not trying stuff or taking up challenging rides and stuff. And so what is the goal though? The goal is to find a way out of this loop. And the way that Tony put it, he called it the challenge or threat door. So eventually you're going to find that you feel challenged by something like, oh yeah, I've got this, let's do it. Or, you know, there's more of a threat feel to it. Like, oh man, if I don't do this, this is going to happen. Okay. But you've got some sort of motivation to get you out of the fear loop and get you through this, you know, door, as he called it, this little trap door that gets you out of this fear loop. Now, getting through this trap door is where you start to figure out what you want, like what, you know, what is your goal? How are you going to get it? And what is your plan? And then starting to act out this plan while making sure the results are getting you in the direction that you want to go. And then watching for a slip back into the fear loop is part of the next step. Because once you're out of the fear loop, you can slip back into it pretty easily. And so you have to be aware of that and make sure that you're acting out your plan and that you're not slipping back into the fear loop and that you're also reviewing your results, because just doing something that's not resulting in positive results in the direction you need is maybe just an excuse, right? Like you're telling yourself, like you're sabotaging yourself, maybe part of the fear loop manifesting itself, where you're like, oh, see, I tried, but I didn't get any success. And so see, why even try again? Like you may be just kind of reinforcing some sort of limiting belief that you have with your action, right? So your plan may be, like I said, just to reinforce a limiting belief that you have rather than actually trying to move in a positive direction. And so this is why reviewing your results and making sure you're headed in a positive direction is important. So that's basically the fear loop, okay? And a couple things to keep in mind with that. I mean, the goal is obviously to try to move with complete confidence through this last part. Like, you know, once you get in the fear loop, you realize what you need to do and you start taking action and all this is, you're very confident in what's going on, okay? But you may not be. You may be hesitant and not sure. But the main thing is to take some action versus complete inaction. Like inaction is going to do nothing for you. So again, going back to our example of the, you know, a technical trail feature, okay, complete inaction is rolling up to it, looking at it, not looking at it in any sort of positive way, right? Like just, oh man, this is, you know, I always suck at this. I could wreck. I remember Billy wrecked last summer. Oh man, that's going to be me. And then you walk past it for the, you know, however many time, and then you roll on, and then you just try to put it out of your mind until the next time you're on the trail and the same thing happens. Okay, that's inaction. You're not taking any action on the problem there. Now, again, this isn't a call to be reckless. Like you have to really be able to decide. And I'll talk about this here in a second to, you know, be, or I guess, you know, kind of touch on it now. You need to be self-aware enough. Like that's really kind of the first step of getting out of the fear loop is being self-aware enough to realize what's going on. Okay, so you're staring at this technical trail section and it's freaking you out, and you got to be self-aware enough to go, hey, wait a minute, this is the fear loop. I'm caught in the fear loop. Hey, fear, get over here. Come here. Let's have a talk. Right? Like don't try to ignore the fear. Don't try to rationalize it. Like have a conversation with it. Like, what's going on here? What am I afraid of? Oh man, you know, I'm afraid of this. I'm afraid of that. Okay. Well, is that really, you know, have some sort of conversation with yourself. And again, it's hard to be completely rational when you're talking to yourself on some level, but also just, you know, you're emotional or whatever. So, but at least just starting to think in this way, like, hey, I'm in the fear loop. I've got to figure out like, how rational is this? Like, you know, what's the odds of me wrecking on this? So, you know, oh yeah, I remember Billy last year, he was on a brand new bike and, you know, he wasn't really paying attention and, you know, that he's ridden it 100 times before and after, never wrecked on it. That was the only time that he wrecked on it, was that one time. Okay. Well, maybe it's not that bad. And well, you know, I've never ridden anything exactly like that, but man, it was that one section that, right. Like you start to kind of rationally, or try to rationally look at some of these movies playing in your head and say, well, wait a minute, is this actually true? Is this actually accurate? And you may find like, man, it's not. Okay. So now maybe you just need to go for it. And you do need to just, like I said, just, hey, I've got it. Let's go for it. But you may need to not do that. You may decide like, no, you know, this Billy was about the level that I am now. Like now he's better. And he's able to ride this, but he's about where I was when he wrecked on that. And it was pretty bad. And I'm really not that good on this kind of stuff. Like, huh, what is it about this section that makes it so difficult for me? Let me look at it. Let me see if I can figure out like what kind of skill set am I lacking to help me get through this? And then, okay, now what can I do? Is there a plan that I can use to help me get to get better at this? So again, like, you know, just to be honest with you, a big hole in a lot of riders' game is their slow speed balance. Excuse me. And, you know, their ability to do a track stand. People are like, oh, why do I need to do a track stand? I never use that on the trail. It's like, well, not, you may not track stand completely, but track standing is moving without any momentum. That is the ultimate in slow speed balance. And so if you can track stand, then you can move very slowly and still maintain your balance through technical sections. And this is a big hang up for a lot of riders. They try to carry way too much momentum through a section to try to make up for their lack of balance. The more momentum you have, the less balance you need. That's why you can ghost ride a bike, right? Like you can just get enough momentum and jump off of it and it'll ride itself. The momentum will balance it for a little bit. And then as the momentum lessens, that's when it falls over. And so momentum makes up for a lack of balance, but momentum is a dangerous way to throw yourself through a rock garden. But unfortunately, that's the strategy that a lot of riders have because they don't have good slow speed balance and they don't work on the track stand. So that would, you know, again, just going back to this example, maybe you figured out like, oh yeah, I don't have good slow speed balance. And so I try to throw myself, use too much momentum through these rock gardens, and that's dangerous. So, all right, well, let's start working on my track stands. And so you develop a plan to get better at your track stands. And then as you get better at your track stands, you start applying that to sections that you are good at. So maybe there's some sections that you used to be able to, you know, make yourself through with some momentum, but now you're going to slow down a little bit and practice using your slow speed balance and skills as opposed to like just momentum. And again, there's a skill to using momentum, but there's also a time when you're just making up for a lack of balance, right? And so, but then you start to apply it and then you get more confident with it. And eventually you're going to roll up to that trail section and you're going to look at it and you're going to be like, oh, I got this. This looks different because I've had this plan and I've been working towards it. And I've been, you know, critically analyzing what I need to get better at. And now that I'm better at it, my body recognizes this and this looks different. And so now you got more confidence to do it. I got an article on bikejames.com on, you know, is your mental confidence holding back your physical confidence? And just the idea that your mind knows, right? Your mind knows what you're good at and what you can and can't do. And so, you know, there's a difference between intuition and getting stuck in the fear loop, and they're related and they're part of each other. But that's where, you know, sometimes you are looking at something and your intuition's like, yeah, man, you don't really got what you need to get this. And then telling that to shut up is not the right idea. But recognizing like, okay, you know, I'm just afraid. Let's figure out a plan. Let's get better at this. Like that's a much better way of trying to manage the situation. Same thing with, you know, if you get challenged to do some sort of ride that's, you know, outside of your comfort zone, then you can look at it and what do I need to get better at? Is there a plan that I can get better at this? And so that is really at the heart of success in really any area of life. I mean, you can apply this to life and, like I said, self-defense situations, riding your bike, getting better there. So if you know what you're afraid of, you can start to get out of the fear loop much faster. But like I mentioned, it really takes self-awareness to figure out what you're really afraid of in order to do that. And again, remember that fear, it can also inform you about what you need to do or improve as you move through that door out of the fear loop. And this is important to remember. Again, it's not about getting rid of fear. It's about learning how to listen to it, turn it into fuel, learn to manage it better. And that's really the key to success. So again, like looking at, you know, our example earlier, the fear can inform you about what you need to get better at to be able to ride that technical trail section. So if you didn't have any fear, you wouldn't have anything telling you what you needed to get better at. And that is an important part of improving as a rider, but you got to listen to that. If you try to ignore the fear, if you try to just, you know, stuff it down because you're not supposed to feel that and you've got a million excuses about why you can't ride this and blah, 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 like you're never going to get better, right? You're never going to get better as a rider with that attitude. And so remember too, man, sometimes limiting beliefs are true, but that's not an excuse to not try or to tap into other things like heart and grit. And again, Mark Weir. Yeah, Mark Weir is a super old school mountain biker. The Weir Wolves, man, those were some badass tires, man. I love those things back in the day. But he was a rider who was able to ride at a very high level who did not have a great VO2 max. And again, this is one of these stories that I heard early in my mountain biking career, and so I've never actually talked to Mark to confirm all of this, but it's still a good example. Like, there are examples of this all over the world of sport where someone is told by the sport scientists, you know, you don't really have a great VO2 max, or you don't really have a great whatever. So you're never going to be world class. You're never going to be a champion at what you're looking for because you don't have this, and everybody else who is has it. And a lot of people, that's a self-limiting belief, right? And it's true. Like, that they've now created this self-limiting belief, and it may be true that the limiting belief is that, you know, the VO2 max is going to affect your performance. But you, that's not an excuse to not try or try to tap into something else. And so Mark's a great example of someone who is able to tap into things like heart and grit and perform better than riders who had a better VO2 max than he did. And so limiting beliefs can be true, but that's not an excuse to not try, and you can get around those things. You know, sometimes you got to figure out, like, is that truly a limiting belief? Like, you know, there are things that would be, like, if you're, you know, 5'1" and you want to play center in the NBA, you're going to have trouble with that. You know, I hate to use the word impossible because of the possibility of other possibilities, but I'd feel pretty confident going out on a limb saying that that would be a very, very, very tough thing to be 5'1" and try and play center in the NBA. Like, that is a self-limiting belief that is true, and I'm not sure it can be overcome with just heart and grit and things like that. So there's always there's a fine line between what is true and accepting reality and what isn't true and is simply a manifestation of things in your mind, most often or a lot of times, things like the fear loop. And being able to distinguish between the two is such an important part of learning to be successful on the bike, on the trail, at life, self-defense situations, all of these things. So kind of closing out here, remember to practice courage in small steps. This isn't something that you're just going to do 100% overnight. And, you know, it's kind of cliche at this point, but, like, you can't have courage. You can't be brave if you don't feel afraid. Like, the whole thing, like, courage isn't the absence of fear. It's doing what needs to be done despite having fear. And but that takes practice. And so if this isn't something that you have been doing up to this point, or maybe you've done it but not as much as you need to, you just need to work on that 1%. Get 1% better today at doing this than you were yesterday. Recognize one more situation, try to work yourself out of the fear loop just a little bit faster. And as you do this, you're going to get better at it. One of the things that Tony said is that mind speed is the most important asset in, you know, he's talking about a self-defense situation, but really, especially on the trail, like riding your bike, that mind speed and your ability to quickly assess what is going on and choose the appropriate line and skills and all those things to address it, that is hugely, hugely, hugely important. And so it's, like I said, that mind speed that you get from practicing this. And so it may not happen all at once, just like you don't learn how to read the trail your first day out, right? Like, it takes years and a lot of practice to learn how to read the trail at that level and that speed, so does it take practice to learn how to get through the fear loop with speed. You're still going to get hung up in it, right? Like, you may still get hung up in the fear loop. Something, you know, big happens in your life. Like, man, there's a lot of people, especially coming out of this last year with the lockdowns and the COVID stuff, like, people were locked in the fear loop for a long period of time. Like, and it's very tough to get out of the fear loop when there's very little that you can be confident of moving forward. And, you know, but it's something that you have to do in order to start moving forward. And remember that fear is contagious as well, right? Like, courage is contagious. So this is why it's important to practice it in small steps, because the more you do it, the more the contagious it is, the more momentum you're going to build. This is also why hanging out with people who practice courage is important. People that have good, strong moral fiber, people that have good ways of approaching problems, both on and off the trail. It's contagious. But remember, so is fear. So that's, you know, you've got to recognize that as well. So ultimately, fear can be the fuel that saves your life or pushes you to a new level on your bike or a new level in your life. Okay. Or it can be the thing that stifles you and just holds you back and is this cloud over everything that you do. But understanding that it's that tool and how you can use it is really at the heart of your success on the bike and off the bike and all the rest of that stuff. So I'll close out here with a quote from Coach Tony Blauer. Again, he had a lot of great stuff, but I really liked this one, you know, bringing everything to a close. He said, change your relationship with fear and you will change your mind. If you change your mind, you will change your life. And that's really it. That's really it. That is it's such an important message for us to understand. And again, this mindset of how do we get through the fear loop is something that you can apply to everything. So that mindset that you need to survive a self-defense situation, to have practiced the things and be able to react in a way that's going to help save you or your loved one's life. Okay. Like that is the same thing that you need to be able to react properly on the bike, to be able to react properly to events in your life. All of it's the same. And like I said, that was that big epiphany moment for me, was realizing that and like, oh, like there's no difference between these things. And it's all just a different manifestation of this fear loop. And how do we manage it? And it's definitely powerful stuff that can be applied in a bunch of different ways. So hopefully you will be able to apply it and find some good ways yourself. So closing out, just a couple things. I do want to announce that I am planning to do what I'm calling the Ultimate MTB Warrior Camp. So I'm planning the first one to be in July, in the, you know, middle to end of July here. By the time this podcast comes out, hopefully I'll have some info up on it. But I plan on, it's going to be a 3-day experience where we're going to work on not only the fitness and skills side of riding and working on things like isometrics and CO2 tolerance training and breath work and, you know, the skill stuff, applying the latest science behind the coaching and learning of these technical skills. Besides that, we're also going to dive into some of the other areas and that go into being the MTB warrior. So we are going to have a section where we work on some basic self-defense and combative skills. We are going to work on some basic medical stuff. We'll go over the EDC, the everyday carry, the things that you need to have on you, you know, daily and on your rides and in your car. So start to, you know, explore some of these other areas in the camp as well. And so I'm really excited to do this. It's going to be a super fun experience. This is completely unlike anything else out there in the mountain bike world. And I think that it's going to be a lot of fun. And you're going to come out of it not only a better rider, right? Like you will come out of it with the fitness and skills and things that you need in that area to improve there. But you're going to be just more useful to yourself and other people, especially if things go wrong. So, you know, remember the whole idea of the MTB warriors to be the one who can bring the others back. And that's an important thing, but it's a skill set that you have to work on. It's not just going to happen. And so hopefully this camp and me starting to talk about some of these things and other things I'll be doing in the future will help spark some more interest in these areas in the mountain biking world, because these are things that can save your life or save someone else's life. And like I said, like keep a situation from going from a cool adventure story into a survival situation. So keep an eye out for more news about that. And then, be sure to visit bikejames.com where you can sign up for the free newsletter. I give you a free isometric training program. When you do that, you can find all sorts of information there on that site. I've been posting stuff online since 2005. I'm not sure how long that website goes back to. I think it might be 2010, but it's a long time. There's a lot of information on that site when it comes to improving your writing, your mindset, your skills, just everything that goes into to being a better writer. And while you're there, be sure to check out the Atomic Strength Training Program. And that is my full isometric training program that I have created for the specific demands of writing. It is the best way to get stronger in the least amount of time, the least amount of wear and tear on your body. And yeah, it is the foundation of my own training program. Anybody I work with is the foundation for their workout. So, you know, you can build other things on top of that, like getting your couple days of isometric training in and then doing, you know, if you like kettlebells, if you like CrossFit, if you like powerlifting, you know, you can do the other stuff, right? Like it's not, or you can just do this. That's the great thing about it is it's something that's a standalone program, or you can add it in to other workouts. And again, I show you how to do that with some sample training weeks, in there. So, and then finally, the Catalyst pedals, you can learn more about them at pedalinginnovations.com. And they are the world's only pedal that is designed based on the science and movement principles behind pedaling a bike and moving and performing well on a bike. It's not just pedaling, but it's also being able to move well, to change levels, to move your hips around properly. All of these things go into riding well, no matter what the trail throws at you. And the Catalyst pedal allows you to support your whole foot, so you're able to get a pressure point at the ball of the foot and towards the heel. And this does a lot of stuff, balances out the forces, allows you to get a better recruitment of the hips, takes stress off of the Achilles tendon and calves and knees and low back. And yeah, it's really just a great experience for your body, and helps your riding as well. So one of the things that I love hearing from riders, again, just kind of going back to that, you know, what will help your confidence on the trail. A lot of people have told us that they have ended up riding through technical sections that they always walked through, like their first or second time out on the bike when they're riding the Catalyst pedals, because there's so much more balance, and their body knows this, right? Like I said, that your mental confidence, your brain knows when you're off balance. Your brain knows when you're not able to recruit your hips properly. Your brain knows this. And so it's going to create an image in your mind of how hard this thing is going to be based on that, right? Like it's like the couch potato looks at a marathon and says, that's really hard. A marathoner looks at a marathon and says, hey, that's not that hard. I can do that. Okay. The difference is their brain is looking at their experience and saying, hey, I can do this. And so your brain gets held back by being on pedals that are too small. Like it recognizes being in an unbalanced position. This is why standing up is so uncomfortable for people when they're on small pedals, and why people feel the need to have to sit and spin so much. So anyways, like you're able to improve that mental and physical confidence that will help you push yourself through some of these things. So the Catalyst pedals do a lot of good stuff for you, and they got a 30-day money back guarantee. So if I'm lying, we'll take them back and give you your money back. Again, only company in the cycling industry to offer anything even remotely close to that. But again, that's because we're confident in what we are selling, and it's not just hype and, you know, look at me pictures and videos and stuff like that. So anyways, so that's going to do it for this podcast. If you have any questions or comments on this, be sure and hit me up at james@bikejames.com, and I will talk to everybody next time.